at dusk on the day that she finished it. Trying to waste the most time possible, Amaranta ordered some rough flax and spun the thread herself. She did it so carefully that the work alone took 4 years. Then she started the sewing. As she got closer to the unavoidable end, she began to understand that only a miracle would allow her to prolong the work past Rebecca's death. But the very concentration gave her the calmness that she needed to accept the idea of frustration. It was then that she understood the vicious circle of Colonel Aureliano Buendia's little gold fishes. The world was reduced to the surface of her skin, and her inner self was safe from all bitterness. It pained her not to have had that revelation many years before, when it had still been possible to purify memories and reconstruct the universe under a new light and evoke without trembling Pietro Crespi's smell of lavender at dusk, and rescue Rebecca from her slough of misery, not out of hatred or out of love, but because of the measureless understanding of solitude. The hatred that she noticed one night in Meme's words did not upset her, because it was directed at her, but she felt the repetition of another adolescence that seemed as clean as hers must have seemed, and that, however, was already tainted with rancor. But by then, her acceptance of her fate was so deep that she was not even upset by the certainty that all possibilities of rectification were closed to her. Her only objective was to finish the shroud. Instead of slowing it down with useless detail as she had done in the beginning, she speeded up the work. 1 week before, she calculated that she would take the last stitch on the night of February 4, and without revealing the motives, she suggested to Meme that she move up a clavichord concert that she had arranged for the day after, but the girl paid no attention to her. Amaranta then looked for a way to delay for 48 hours, and she even thought that death was giving her her way because on the night of February 4th, a storm caused a breakdown at the power plant. But on the following day, at 8 in the morning, she took the last stitch in the most beautiful piece of work that any woman had ever finished, and she announced without the least bit of dramatics that she was going to die at dusk. She not only told the family, but the whole town, because Amaranta had conceived of the idea that she could make up for a life of meanness with one last favor to the world, and she thought that no one was in a better position to take letters to the dead. The news that Amaranta Buendia was sailing at dusk, carrying the mail of death, spread throughout Macondo before noon, and at 3 in the afternoon there was a whole carton full of letters in the parlor. Those who did not want to write gave Amaranta verbal messages, which she wrote down in a notebook with the name and the date of death of the recipient. "Don't worry," she told the senders. "The first thing I'll do when I get there is to ask for him and give him your message." It was farcical. Amaranta did not show any upset or the slightest sign of grief, and she even looked a bit rejuvenated by a duty accomplished. She was as straight and as slim as ever. If it had not been for her hardened cheekbones and a few missing teeth, she would have looked much younger than she really was. She herself arranged for them to put the letters in a box sealed with pitch and told them to place it in her grave in a way best to protect it from the dampness. In the morning, she had a carpenter called who took her measurements for the coffin as she stood in the parlor, as if it were for a new dress. She showed such vigor in her last hours that Fernanda thought she was making fun of everyone. Úrsula, with the experience that Buendía's died without any illness, did not doubt at all that Amaranta had received an omen of death. But in any case, she was tormented by the fear that with the business of the letters and the anxiety of the senders for them to arrive quickly, they would bury her alive in their confusion. So she set about clearing out the house, arguing with the intruders as she shouted at them, and by 4 in the afternoon, she was successful. At that time, Amaranta had finished dividing her things among the poor and had left on the severe coffin of unfinished boards only the change of clothing and the simple cloth slippers that she would wear in death. She did not neglect that precaution because she remembered that when Colonel Aureliano Buendia died, They had to buy a pair of new shoes for him, because all he had left were the bedroom slippers that he wore in the workshop. A little before 5, Aureliano II came to fetch Meme for the concert, and was surprised that the house was prepared for the funeral. If anyone seemed alive at that moment, it was the serene Amaranta, who had even had enough time to cut her corns. Aureliano II and Meme took leave of her with mocking farewells, and promised her that on the following Saturday they would have a big resurrection party.